Anybody want to guess what our theme is today? What gave it away? I have my own little mini tradition that I like to do once during the Christmas season, and that's sure a few letters to Santa that are mostly written by kids. So if I may, instead of a joke, I'm going to do that today. Dear Santa, I'm not saying I don't believe in you, but could you sign this paper to make me believe in you even more? Adam. Dear Santa, I'm only doing this for class. I know your naughty list is empty, your good list is empty, and your life is empty. You don't know the trouble I've had in my life. Goodbye. Love. I'm not telling you my name. Where they come up with this, I don't know. Dear Santa, I just want you to know I love big butts, and I cannot deny. That's what I want you to know. Love, Tommy. Dear Santa, I flushed my brother's head in the toilet, but can I have a puppy? Dear Santa, I want a rainbow unicorn that poops ice cream. Dear Santa, I don't think our baby brother should have presents this year. He is hurting us, and he said you are trash, so think about giving him presents. From a nice boy, Thomas. Dear Santa, here's my list. Black tops, PS4, hoverboard, golden watch, $29, and 3 gold chains. From a 9-year-old, dear Santa, here's my list. iPad, craft stuff, multiplication cards, Apple Watch, candies, emoji, stickers, a better life, and no school. Dear Santa, I don't want the other 9 things on the list that I sent to my father, Dad. I only want the puppy. Every time I think about not getting a puppy, it makes me sadder and sadder. I just want a little puppy. Just one is all I'm asking for, is one puppy. Perhaps a Labrador, German Shepherd, or a Husky. Thank you if I discover a puppy in a box under the tree. Love, Emily. This one was dropped off to Santa Claus at the mall, and it shows a very inquisitive nature. Dear Santa, do you get paid? Do you have another job 364 days? When you deliver presents, do you eat all the cookies right then or save some? How old are you? Are you getting paid to sit here and pretend to be Santa? Will you bring me a bazooka? Do you or did you smoke? Do you drink? If you always know what kids want, what's the first thing on my list? How come you look different every year? Dear Santa, if you want a beer, feel free to get the lot or just one. The fridge is near the door. From Flynn. There's one more I just want to start to cap it off with, because sometimes kids, you know, just show a lot of love and beauty and warmth and compassion. Dear Santa, my mom said to send you a Christmas list. I want a remote-controlled car and a helicopter, but I don't want that anymore. Kids at school are still picking on Amber. And it's not fair, because she doesn't do anything to them, and it makes me mad. I prayed that they would stop, but God is busy and needs your help. Is it against the rules to give gifts early? Can you, as big time, rush to come to Amber's birthday party? It will make her happy. If you can't, get them to come, but just give her everything she asked for. Thanks, Santa. Love, Ryan. Dear Santa, even though I know the truth, I want you to know how much I enjoy believing in you the past 19 and a half years. Love, Ava. And one rerun from last year, because it was obviously written by an adult. Dear Santa, please give me a big fat bank account and a slim body, and please don't mix those two like you did last year. Love, Lucy. All right. We're talking about peace today, so with a show of hands, all of you who are in favor of world peace, raise your hand. Anybody not in favor of it? Oh, we got not. That's cool. All right, for all of you that raise your hand, my next question is this. If you're in favor of world peace, what in the past week have you done to make it happen? If you're in favor of world peace, what in the past month have you done to make it happen? And if you're really in favor of world peace, have you done anything in 2019 to make this a greater reality? And I start off with this just to prove a very special point. There is an incredible world of difference between being in favor of something and being passionate about it. And it all fits in as we talk about peace today, from pieces to peace. But before we really get into that, to help me get into that, I have a story that I wish to share with you, okay? It's a bit of a... I'll just read it. Would help if I knew what I was doing. There may have been a liberty or two taken, so just go with this, please. Picture this, if you will. The year is 45 AD, or CE, if you prefer. Jesus has been gone from the scene for a little over 10 years. It is Christmas Eve, and the Holy Family is all gathered together to celebrate Christmas back in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. Joseph is there, and Mary, of course. James and the rest of Jesus' siblings are there, along with their children, Jesus' nephews and nieces. Also, there is Peter. He's going around telling everybody, "It's okay, you could call me Rocky. On second thought, maybe you should make that Pope Rocky." The Apostle John is there running around reminding everybody how Jesus loved him best. Martha and Mary are there. And of course, Mary Magdalene, who is complaining because she got Peter in the grab bag once again. I mean, what do you get for a fisherman turned pope, right? They had all settled in after dinner. They had set macaroons and milk on the mantle in anticipation of the arrival of Santa. Soon they would be exchanging gifts. And one of the grandchildren comes up to Mary and Joseph and says, "Grandma, Grandpa, tell us again the story about how Uncle Jesus was born." And Joseph sits back in his chair, takes a sip of Mogan David, and smiles as he begins to reminisce about what happened some 47 years ago. Mary smiles too and gently taps Joseph on his leg, encouraging him. And Joseph begins to tell the story. "Well," he says, "it goes back to the way to the time that Grandma came to me and told me that she was with child. Of course, we weren't married at the time, just betrothed. So I asked her who the father was, and she said, 'The Holy Spirit.' So I said, 'Fine, if you don't want to tell me, don't tell me.' I was all prepared to ship her off someplace to save the embarrassment until that Gabriel fella or angel or whatever he was appeared out of nowhere and backed up her story. Everything seemed to go all right up until the time it was time for the baby to come. And it would have stayed all right, too, had it not been for that stupid decree that Emperor Augustus came up with. Everybody had to go back to his hometown to be registered for the census. I want to tell you, the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem wasn't a walk in the park. It was a schlep and a half and darn cold at the end of December. So we packed everything up on the donkey, who, by the way, was none too happy about any of this either, and off we went. Well, we get there, and it was very late at night. I knocked and then pounded on the innkeeper's door. The innkeeper, she's talk about a grouch. 'Go away. There are no rooms available.' I still say, if Mary would have let me bribe him with a little extra denarii, he would have found something, but she wouldn't let me. So we wandered around town quite a bit until we found this old stable. That's where we decided to hole up for the night. There was an ox, a lamb, and a few other critters in there. But I figured if they could put up with smelling us, we could tolerate them. We weren't there long when Mary went into labor. I was going to try to ease things for her with the Lamaze method until I realized that wouldn't be discovered for another couple of thousand years. So Mary had a long labor, but she was a champ and toughed it out. And then suddenly it happened. She gave birth to this incredibly beautiful baby boy, baby Jesus. And all at once, the skies opened up. There was this multitude of heavenly hosts who began singing and crying out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those of goodwill." Well, obviously, I took some liberties in sharing this story with you today. And yet I would make the argument that there's something here for all of us to relate to on a multitude of levels. To begin with, if you are a parent, you probably have your own stories that maybe didn't go exactly according to script on that day that you gave birth to your children. Or maybe if you were a child that was told by your mom or dad what that crazy day was like on the day that you were made incarnate and began to walk the earth, or at least be in the earth. I know my mother-in-law always used to love to tell the story about the day that Susan was born. Susan was a Thanksgiving Day baby, and so she was born on Thanksgiving, and her mother always said, "I got up at 5:30 in the morning to prepare this Thanksgiving dinner. And even though I went into labor, there was no way I was going to head to that hospital before I ate some of that dinner." And as I understand, it was a very close call at the hospital. When my daughter Lori was born, my wife went into labor late on a Sunday afternoon. And all that Sunday morning, I spent about 2.5 hours playing touch football in the park. My back was killing me. And I was supposed to be there for her, leading her through the Lamaze method. And this is the God's truth. All I said to her was, "Geez, can't you move over a bit? I really need to lie down for a little bit." True story. Every once in a while, the news will come out with a news story about somebody who gave birth in a taxi cab or some other peculiar situation. A few years ago, there was a big thing about a woman who gave birth on a short flight from San Francisco to Los Angeles. The point that I wish to make here is part of human nature is, as significant as the event may be, we are so much about the anticipation, the craziness, the zaniness, the journey that leads up to that very, very short-lived thing of the actual birth. And this is something that we do all of the time. When we sing happy birthday to somebody, yeah, I mean, there's a bit of celebration for that actual day, but the reason that day is significant is we made it through another 654 days. And hopefully when I say we made it through, it was a glorious 364 days. And in 2016, when the Chicago Cubs at long last became the World Series champion, and there were all kinds of celebrations involved, it wasn't so much the celebration of the last out in that game. It was a celebration of journeys, a journey of 162-game season and probably about 20 playoff games. But more significantly than even that, it was a journey of 108 years before at long last they had broken the curse and they had broken through. And if you read the Hebrew scriptures, there's so many references to the promised land, the promised land, the promised land. But the vast majority of the writings are all about the 40 years in the desert. And this is really significant as we talk about peace. You know, when I started the talk at the beginning, who isn't in favor of peace? But the problem is that I think we get stuck in a notion as to what peace is that really is not what peace is truly about. Because all of us get, each and every one of us has to run through the rat race. Each and every one of us has to deal with problems and pain and soreness and all other kinds of things. We get sick. People around us get sick. We have busted relationships. And even if you don't go into those really severely bad areas, you know, where we jump up on the floor in the morning, we have to get off to work, we have to attend to this, and we have to, especially at this crazy time of the year, you know, and people who are really into Christmas shopping and trying to meet schedules and all of that, and you just want to take a breath, and you just want a time to relax. And I'm not saying that's unimportant, because it is. But I really don't think that's what real peace is all about. Because what we really are asking for in those instances are opportunities to kick back, opportunities to settle in, opportunities to relax, opportunities to make the world go away. And so for I think that type of peace is a peace that's born in lack thinking. The peace that Jesus was all about was different. Jesus was speaking about a peace born of spirit, a peace born of awareness, a peace born of newness, a peace that could only come when you would come to realize that all of that other stuff, all of that other craziness is temporary. How many of you could remember back 5 years? What was the real crisis in your life at that time? Even more so if you go back further than that. And maybe even 6 months ago. Do you remember really when you were getting up in the morning, the first thing that was popping into your head and driving you crazy? Jesus told his disciples, "My peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you peace, do I give my peace to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. For yes, it's true, you are in a world, but the world knows you not." And so what I'm trying to say to you today is that if you really, really, really want to understand, if you really want to have peace, true peace in its fullness, to such an extent that all of that craziness becomes insignificant in your life, not in the sense of just washing it away, but having a different attitude about it, I invite you to consider peace in the form of a new awareness, peace in the form of a new understanding, peace in the form of appreciating who and what you are at your depth. A peace that comes along with it, that there's an extent to which you may not be in control, that if somebody hits you with their car, or the Christmas tree lights won't go on. There was another story. 1 year I put the tree up, and in the middle of the night, I heard a big crash, and I came down, and it was on its side, legs up dead. But if you really wanted to understand a peace where none of that stuff matters, where none of that stuff gets to you, then you have to go to the place of tapping in to the inner peace. And so when I reviewed this talk with Susan, she says, well, that sounds good, Minister Mike. How? So we have to come back kind of a little bit full circle here. And we have to go back to talking about all of the craziness. And we have to be talking about the illnesses and the flu and the kids breaking the ornaments or the dog doing something. So whatever, it doesn't matter. One of the people who decorated yesterday had things laid out very nicely and came in this morning and found out that all of the electrical cords that were nicely covered up for safety protection were now exposed and all this kind of stuff. And we got into a brief conversation about, really frustrating, isn't it? Each and every one of those things is not just a nuisance. Each and every one of those things is an incredibly precious, holy, sacred opportunity. Because if we can move into an awareness, if we can move into a consciousness of how random and silly and basically insignificant the vast majority of these things are, they become tools, they become opportunities for us to use and create a mind shift and put it into a perspective that when it's all said and done, it's all God. When it's all said and done, it's all part of the oneness. Even the really bad stuff, the stuff that is really just, you know, wants to rip your heart out. And Lord knows there's enough of those sad stories on the news these days. And every once in a while, you get a prophet speaking out. A few weeks ago, there was on the news about a woman whose son was killed. And the opening statement that came out of her was, I don't hold any grudge. I forgive the person that did this to my son. If somebody could do that on that kind of a level, how could we not do it when somebody cuts us off in traffic? How could we not do it when somebody doesn't agree with us? How could we not do it day in and day out? There are just hundreds of these opportunities. And so if you want to know peace in your life, it's all about maintaining an awareness and a consciousness that it's all God and it's all good. So at the beginning of this talk, I asked everybody, if you're in favor of world peace, raise your hand. How many of you are in favor of real inner peace? What have you done about it in the past week? What have you done about it in the past 6 months? What have you done about it in 2019? Because there are opportunities galore. My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives peace, do I leave my peace with you. For you are in the world, and the world knows you not. For the remainder of this Christmas season, I just invite you, through the joyful parts, the singing, the eating, and all of that stuff that's so easy to celebrate, we kind of got that one down. But as soon as this afternoon, when something starts to go crazy, take that opportunity. Know the peace that you really are. And so it is. Let's take this to prayer and meditation.